SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Friday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website as well, stevebick.com. And I tell you, it's like Groundhog Day. Every single day is more gorgeous than the previous, and that appears to be the agenda for the weekend, and looks at least up here, I can tell you that might be a little Tuesday, Wednesday. Looks like maybe a little rain. Perfect timing. Let it give the turf courses at Saratoga a dousing, and then we'll be ready for opening day a week from, unbelievable, a week from today. I expect, we'll probably do the opening day session from the track, and a handful. I think last year, I don't know, we did about eight or nine from the track. I had a big weekends and some interesting spots, and with certain guests available in the area, and everybody ideally planning their trips to Saratoga, whether it's a favorite stake. I mean, so many people, whether it's the Alabama or whatever your favorite. I mean, Travers is Travers, but for so many years when we had the six-week meet, there was such a distinct and almost just ritualistic run through the 36 days. And it hasn't changed all that much. There's been a few little the stacking of stakes a little bit on Travers Day to make it kind of supersized. Travers Day was always going to be special, but even more so. And by the way, speaking of those days, those halcyon days, tinged with sepia tone, back to the 90s anyway. How about the news yesterday? And it's funny because the news kind of wrote itself, this story. Mike Lakehow. And Mike, write your own headline. Mike Lakehow. We should pull out that, isn't it the Lion King, the Circle of Life? Could pull out some clips from the Hudsucker Proxy. The Great Circle of Life. Mike Lakehow, back to the New York Racing Association. And after a 13-year sojourn, I guess, and walkabout, where he did a little bit of everything. Mike spent some time at Calder. He spent time helping the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. Came back and worked with Hammer and worked under Rick for a couple of years at Santa Anita. And then the opportunity to work as a jock agent with Javier Castellano. Did that for over a year and a half. And as soon as Castellano made the move and Mike became available for hire, the rumors immediately began that, wouldn't it be logical and wouldn't it be a good opportunity for Mike Lakehow to come back to the New York Racing Association? And that's exactly what has happened. Martin Panza taking the opportunity to add Lakehow's expertise and experience and even familiarity. You know, Pat Pope is going to handle Belmont duties. And there's obviously a learning curve for somebody like a Pat Pope, as experienced as he is as a racing secretary. But to have Mike Lacow and Michael take care of Saratoga and Aqueduct, you know, to have his familiarity with the schedule and, you know, the way in which the season have traditionally, you know, rolled out, it's unique. And obviously a pretty fascinating fascinating circumstance that brings Lacow kind of home to New York. So I haven't even had a chance to reach out to Mike. We will have a New York tinged conversation later in the show. Hour three, Joe Applebaum is going to join us, and kind of overdue, but it's a little bit, you know, we talked to Joe when he took over the NYTHA job, the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, representing owners and horsemen. And we talked with Joe at the time, and there's been so many things that have gone on in recent weeks and months. So in advance of Saratoga, and saw Joe Saturday at Belmont, and we talked about a visit and a perfect opportunity today, late in the show, probably 11:30, Joe Applebaum will join us. And there's a lot of things that I want Joe to do and to clarify, not the least of which we're going to explain to people one more time. I think it's, you know, much as we had that conversation with Paul Matisse on Wednesday, which really went a long way to helping people understand the mechanics involved in the way the money is moving from the computer groups into the pools. I mentioned this yesterday. I'll say it again because people continue to hear. You know, people go to the archives at their own leisure. That's one of the beauties of having it. And several, just whether it's an email or text or Facebook or Twitter, whatever, people that really found Paul's explanations and, you know, his expertise describing, you know, the way this circumstance around the Dwyer transpired, and beyond that, it obviously was a much more expansive discussion. But at the same time, this is one of the things I want to do with Joe, is explain to people the mechanics of what the horsemen's organization's responsibilities are, what the racing entities, you know, the people that own and operate racetracks, there's one set of things that they can do and that they're charged with, and, you know, as a bricks and mortar operation. Then there's supervisory and regulatory agencies that have a, you know, an overview and have, you know, the responsibilities of monitoring and policing the sport and the wagering, etc. So often when something transpires that players, fans, owners, that happens in the game. And I see, and of course, the internet age pours out every, you know, every thought, response, emotion, you know, some worth responding to and some not. But understanding whose responsibility is what, that goes a long way. It should go a long way to helping people, you know, digest certain activities. But the instant response is to lash out at whatever entity is involved. And a lot of times you're lashing out at absolutely the wrong entity. You know, when certain things transpire. I mean, the conversation we had with Drew Mollica early in the week and about what, you know, what Bill Mott did for Horsemen and, you know, fighting against the rulings, and people saying, well, NYRA didn't do anything. NYRA doesn't, it's not NYRA, NYRA, that's not their responsibility. In this case, a gaming commission, the regulatory agency. It's important to understand this. And, you know, just creating an atmosphere of vitriol and animosity over everything, when it's misdirected, it's doing nobody any good. So understanding how the game works, I think, would help. There's a question. The question came up about, and I'm going to utilize Hammer in hour three. A question came up. What was the reasoning behind dropping the Delaware handicap from a grade one? Look at the field it's got. At the TOBA website, you can go to the American Graded State Committee and you can read every single mechanism that's involved in how stakes are graded. The scoring system, the criteria, the evolution, the rolling average, the way they score the race, what has to happen in the process of either being downgraded or to get back upgraded. It's not arbitrary, just like speed figures. They're not arbitrary. Oh, that performance looked like a 98 buyer. That's not the way it works. They're for those that are mystified, they're hiding all this information on the internet and in books. it's all right there. So we're going to point it out. So Joe's going to be with us, and one of the things that I want Joe to do is explain exactly what the Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, in this case, what Joe's day-to-day responsibilities, who he's representing, who he interfaces with, because one of the good stories that is, you know, been operating behind the scenes, the loggerheads that was going on between the jocks and the horsemen. And that is being, you know, that has been very quietly being taken care of. Same thing can be said about the work between NTRA and the horsemen and the jockeys. These kinds of mechanisms. There's really a whole bunch of this kind of news, and part of this is the first adjustment, in 10 years, to the pay scale for jocks. And actually, I'll have Joe address the tweaking of the pool distribution as well. That is pushing a little bit more money down the scale for owners, from 60% to 55% for the winners, and some more money. That number has always been very top heavy, and that is an adjustment. And so Joe's going to talk about that and a whole bunch of things that have been going on in advance of the start of Saratoga, a lot of other scenes behind as well. And I mentioned Hammer. I want him to, one more time, we'll use the field for the Delaware handicap as a as like a working model. And Hammer will explain, you know, I stressed all the, you know, the grade one participants involved in the Delcap. You know, how many more fields like this after a few years of very short fields in the Delcap? How many more groups like this would it take to get the Delcap back to a grade one? And Hammer will spend a couple of minutes. He's probably driving in right now, and I mean, he may be home today, actually. But we'll get Rick's input on that as a member of the Graded State Committee. And also, after, you know, a bit of a some explosive headlines about Golden Gate, conditional approval for the fall meet. And you know, there had been the, I would call it posturing over the cost-sharing responsibilities between Stronach Group and the fairs and the OTB system in California. It looks like this is being negotiated through. So that's a positive. Lots of other little headlines, good and bad, to get to this morning. And one I'll slip in because the Justify story has been, you know, so closely monitored. He's going to make the trip with the Baffert string down to Del Mar. He'll walk the shed row. And another 2 or 3 weeks, they'll look again at the ankle and decide if they can resume training. And you would imagine at this point that if there's a resumption of training, it would lead to a start in the Awesome again and the Breeders' Cup. And that would be it. As for those that are so convinced that there is a the most intricate and involved scheme ever, if they were going to retire him, they wouldn't have been galloping him after the Belmont and so forth. But I'm sure that a lot are convinced that, oh, this is all an elaborate scheme. It's unbelievable. Craziness. Jim Dunleavy will recap Delaware from last week and look forward to Delcap and the Kent and more with him next. Marcus Hirsch will recap the Arlington action and look forward to Indiana with him. Nick Tamro, Scully, DeRosa, Hammer, Applebaum at the races back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Fick on Sirius XM Radio.
One look.
We're back at the races, 20 minutes into Friday weekend preview and a little bit of review as well, especially with our DRF correspondents. Jim Dunleavy going to join us and Marcus Hirsch, and both were with us last week to preview action. Had Jim on hand to talk Delaware, the Oaks, and the Robert Dick and the Cape Henlopen. And the Dashing Beauty. So we'll talk a little bit about those before we launch into this week's Delaware action, the highlight of the meet, the Del Cap, and came up very, very strong. And the Kent and the Hockessin and more. Jim Dunleavy joins us from the Daily Racing Forum. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
Excellent. And another gorgeous weekend on tap after last weekend's good racing. And in particular, we touched on the two turf sprints and down in Philadelphia, and we talked about Delaware Park. I had Kellen Gorder on Wednesday, and what a performance by Red Ruby.
I thought that was just great. That is a like national breakout race in my mind. I mean, she's always been good, but that was tremendous. And even though she laid over her competition, I think it sets it up for a very interesting Alabama. And you know, we'll find out how she reacts when she gets tested more. You know, when she really faces it's just a terrific 3-year-old filly division this year. You know,
it is interesting.
Earlier in the year, everyone was saying the boys' division was so deep and now the fillies are, I think, you know, really a classy group. And we'll see how Red Ruby, when she has to look some of these other horses in the eyes, how she reacts. But I think she's going to react very well, personally.
And off of this performance and heading for the Alabama, one note that I brought up with Gorder himself, and he acknowledged it, really feel like the major players that are Alabama-bound, Wonder Godot, who will be running Tuesday, and the Prince of Wales, there's a number of them that are authentic mile-and-a-quarter bred fillies.
Mm-hmm. Right, as he feels Red Ruby is.
Yeah.
And she certainly looked like she was just getting warmed up in the Delaware Oaks last week at the end of that race. She was drifting a little bit, but I think that's just like a a product of how quick she was going, to be quite honest. So I spoke with Kellen last week, too, and, boy, he was just so forthcoming and straightforward and honest. It was a great interview, and I really enjoyed writing the story on her earlier in the week. And it's just great when people really tell you about their horses in great great detail. And, boy, I feel really good for him, and he's done great with this filly. And it's important for, you know, he's got a 30-horse stable, and, you know, it's which medium-sized stable like that, it's hard to come up with a good horse. And he certainly has a very good horse, and he's managed her very well, and he's been very patient with her, and kind of gone through some trials and tribulations with her. And now everything is just going very well. So I think it's a terrific story, and power to him. And, you know, a tremendous performance. You got a 104 buyer speed figure last week, the highest by a three-year-old filly this year by a lot. I mean, the second highest is a 98, Monomoy Girl. And then there was a bunch at 97, but that was a freaky performance because Coach Rocks ran well to be clearly second best, but Red Ruby was just in a class of her own.
Well, we'll look forward to getting her to Saratoga. I want you to touch on a couple of the other races that I only mentioned in passing with the results. Lynn Ashby and Chris DiCarlo, they combined to take the Dick Memorial with that tricky escape, and that's worth a quick discussion point.
Well, exactly. You know, Lynn Ashby trains both Thoroughbreds and Arabians. She's based out at the Middletown Training Center, and this filly is very genuine and has done exceedingly well for them now over an extended period of time. But that was a really, really nice race last week, and Chris DiCarlo gave her a super ride from post 7. He got her to the rail, like, within the first 6 furlongs, saved some ground, angled out, split horses, and as soon as he did that, the race was over. Second year in a row that DiCarlo has won the Robert G. Dick Memorial, too. So that's kind of his race, and very nice ride, very big effort, and a genuine horse here going forward, I think.
Yeah, and Tricky Escape went off about the third choice and favored Creative Thinking. You know, kind of just chased and ran around there, but happy for Ashby. Owner John Marshall. You and I, when we touched on the Cape Henlopen, I absolutely wanted to make sure people were aware of what was going on with O Dionysus, and an absolute thriller for those that missed this. Alex Cintron getting the better of Mario Pino, Vintage Matters, really a three-horse finale in the late stages with Utmost. This was a really good running for a $75,000 stake.
Right. And I'm a little mad at myself for that race because I realized how improved O Dionysus was since Gary Capuano put him on the turf, stretched him out in distance. But that going from that 1/16 to the 1.5 was the big question mark in my mind. And I guess I put too much emphasis on it because he obviously got the distance, and he's a real nice horse now. I mean, he was early in his career and he kind of tailed off, and they brought him back, and now they have really found out what he wants to do. And I guess distance doesn't matter very much, obviously. It's 1/16 or 1.5. He's got a really nice finish on him, and he's a horse still with a lot of upside, I think.
Jim, this is Casey in the control room. It looks like we lost Steve for a moment. I'm going to send it to a break, and then we'll come back and try to pick up the conversation, okay?
Certainly.
Thank you.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get five full card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full card PPs for five of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multitrack today.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get five full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for five of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multitrack today.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Back to At the Races with Steve Fick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back. Sorry about that. Some sort of a communications glitch, but we're still here, and Jim Dunleavy is still there. We were talking about the races from last week at Delaware, and the one we didn't get to was the Dashing Beauty, Jim. Jessica Krupnik, a big price and a nice win for Trey Abbott and Sycamore, and we'll come back with one more sprint, the Hokesson, as part of the match series tomorrow, but nice win at a big price.
Yeah, it was a thrilling finish. Three horses. It was a nose and a head, kind of a, you know, three-horse blanket on the wire. And Jessica Krupnik, who is much improved this year, in the best form of her career for Trace Abbott at age five, lasted by a nose. And it was a very good effort and an important effort for this filly and this mare in that it's her first stakes win. And she's owned by a partnership that the Abbott family, Trace and his father, Franny Abbott, run. And it's it increases her residual value when she's retired to get that stakes win in her. Put her over $200,000 in earnings. She's a $45,000 yearling. And it also kind of puts her in the driver's seat in the match series, in that filly and mare dirt sprint division. It gives her almost a commanding lead in that division. And the next leg of the dirt sprint division for fillies and mares is on Tapita. It's on a synthetic track, which she trains over regularly at Fair Hill. And she's good on, where she finished narrowly beaten fourth in the Grade 3 Whimsical at Woodbine over Tapita earlier this year. So it's like the next, I don't want to say it looks like a layup, but she fits that next leg very well, while a number of these other dirt fillies have to change surfaces. It also tied her with Paige McKenney for the overall points lead, the overall championship points lead in the match division. And it's worth quite a bit of money. I mean, that's really the big one. Whoever wins the overall championship at the end, the owner gets $50K and the trainer gets $25,000, you know, as compared to the divisional wins, where I think it's 25 and 15. So anyway, it was a big win for Jessica Krupnik. Trace, I spoke to him earlier this week, said the key to her five-year-old season is that she's gotten older, she's matured, and she's relaxed a little more. He credited a number of people who have got on her in the morning. Nancy Trujillo, who I guess is Shug McGee's assistant at Fair Hill, and Trace's assistant, who gets on her, to getting her to relax and to not give everything early in her races and to save something for a finish. And that's kind of, in his mind, what's happened this year. So, yeah, it was a big win on a lot of different levels.
Well, she had been second in the Regret at Monmouth. That was her first participation in the match series. And as you mentioned, she'll go to Presque Isle for the Satin and Lace. That's on August 12th. And then the Roman Rachel at Parks is the last of the races in that division. Let's turn our attention to tomorrow. Jim Dunleavy with us. And Jim, we'll get to the Hokesson, which is the other Delaware match series event, but let's start with the feature. And the Delaware Handicap certainly can't be unhappy with the field that came together here, led by the return of a late. And what an unusual comeback spot, a mile and a quarter away since the Breeders' Cup.
Well, absolutely. You know, the complexion of this race kind of changed in the last week. I mean, Elate was definitely coming to the race, and Unbridled Mo was definitely going to the race. But, you know, Bob Baffert had been considering Abel Tasman for this too. But he changed course over the last weekend, and he did not enter her Monday for this race, and he worked her on Tuesday. So she's certainly okay, but she didn't come. But what we have left here, to me, still looks like a Grade 1 race. I mean, you know, Elate won the Beldame last year over older fillies and mares, and she won the Alabama. Unbridled Mo this past spring won the Grade 1 Apple Blossom, upset Unrivaled Bell down south. So we've got two Grade 1 winners, and it's a very interesting matchup between the two of them. As you point out, Elate has not raced since her fourth place finish in the Breeders' Cup Distaff. I spoke to Bill Mott earlier this week. He said she was doing so well for the Alabama, so well for the Beldame, but when he got her to California for the Breeders' Cup, he felt that she tailed off, that she just was not as sharp going into the Breeders' Cup Distaff as she was for those two other races. And she finished fourth, which is certainly nothing to be ashamed of, especially for a three-year-old filly. He had her back in training over the winter. He worked her twice, but she developed a little splint problem. He had a back offer. He had to give her some time to get over that, and now brings her back. So it's kind of a late start to her four-year-old campaign here in mid-July. They have big plans for her the rest of the year, and they, you know, he admits this is a tough spot to bring her back. You got to go a mile and a quarter off the bench, but Bill Mott can do this. I mean, you know, he did something very similar with Yoshida on Kentucky Derby Day when he won the Turf Classic at Churchill off a 210-day layoff. And Elate comes into this off a 253-day layoff. And Bill Mott's historical figures through DRF Formulator on bringing horses back off layoffs between 200 and 300 days at distances at a mile or over. I did a mile to a mile and a half. They're excellent. I mean, it's like positive ROI territory. It's a very good percentage. And, you know, that's why Bill Mott was the youngest person ever inducted into the Hall of Fame, I think. He can do amazing things. And it's going to be very interesting to see how – in my mind, she's the horse to be here, even though she is coming off the bench.
Well, we know, even with Farrell's exit, we know proper discretion, and I suppose that it's going to be hard for Scott Spieth to not position Nikki My Darling fairly close. Other than that, without Farrell now, a little bit of the, you know, the pace lick kind of comes out of this. How do you see this unfolding, Jim?
It's similar to what you just said. So Ron Paolucci, Luch Racing, has three horses in here. He's got both Proper Discretion and Nikki My Darling, who both have speed, right? And then he has Furiously Kissed, who he claimed for 62.5 over the winter and is grade one placed and grade three placed since then. Late Fuse kind of, you know, has gotten up for a piece of those purses. He's got the two speeds, and he's got maybe the deepest closer. So I think Ron has indicated this week that he likes Nikki My Darling, I think. I saw him post a photo on Twitter this week talking about the upset, and it was her. So we'll see. But I have a hard time with that scenario personally. I mean, I see them kind of, you know, however you want to sort those two out on the lead, not head to head, but whoever's in front, who's ever stalking, they can control the pace. But I just think they're up against it with a late, maybe couple of lengths back, three, four lengths back, Unbridled Mo, maybe just a little farther back than that. And, two very genuine fillies. Now, Todd Fletcher, who has won this race four times before, he's tied with Henry Clark, I believe, for the all-time number of Dell Cap wins, which is four. And Unbridled Mo, intriguing record in that I don't know if I've ever – well, I'm sure I have, but she is 7-for-8 in two-turn races in her career and 0-for-3 around one turn. And – her two turn, the Apple Blossoms two turns, and that's her grade one win this year. And it's sandwiched between the Royal Delta at a mile at Gulfstream one turn and the mile and a 16th odds in Phipps one turn at Belmont, where she didn't run badly. She was third behind Abel Tasman in that race. But you're just going to think that she's going to love the mile and a quarter, and she's stretching back out around two turns, which is what she has repeatedly told us is what she wants to do.
Agree. Mopetism's presence in here, worth noting, and should also fold in from a Mid-Atlantic standpoint. The work that Anthony Margata Jr. has done with Teresa Z, that command some respect, has really not gotten enough notice for what he's done with her.
I think that works for other horses under his care, too, like Bronx Beauty. I think Mr. Margota has done very well with the stock he has to work with for St. Elias Stable. And Bronx Beauty has turned into a real nice filly for him. And Teresa Z, that was a very sharp win in the Obeah. And he's just done very well with the horses he has to work with.
Well, a good addition. And later on, Jim, when Rick Hammerly's with us, Rick is going to explain, looking at this field and the graded stake accomplishments of the runners, what would have to happen if they have to have another running of this next year with this kind of quality. Would that get it back to a grade one? Rick's going to explain some of that. Let's talk about the Kent, which hasn't gotten enough attention yet. And I thought this was a pretty good group.
Right. Hey, not to harp on the grading of the races, because I know they have formulas they use and they grade races in certain ways. But I found it very odd that this race was downgraded off Songbird's victory last year. I mean, that was a very exciting day to be at Delaware last year. They attracted the number one filly in the country, multiple champion Songbird. She came down, and it was a thrilling race. Year before, I'm a Chatterbox won it. She won three grade ones or four grade ones. I'm forgetting right now, but numerous. 2015 was Sheer Drama, multiple grade one winner. 2014, that was a long shot. Belle Galante, Rudy Rodriguez, Michael Dubb and partners won. They upset Princess of Sylmar, and Princess of Sylmar at that time was the filly you wanted to get if you had an older filly mare race. These are all the horses that you wanted to get. Before that, it was Bill Mott, Royal Delta, 2012-2013. And that's kind of 2013 was when the race was upgraded from a grade two to a grade one after Royal Delta's first win in the race. So I guess you could say the field size has been a little small the last few years, but that's kind of a byproduct of getting the best filly and mare in the country, isn't it? I mean, I see small grade one fields all over. And I was very surprised when this race was downgraded this year. And this looks to me like a grade one field tomorrow.
I agree that this group will tick all the boxes. And it has to be, it's not just the winner. The scoring system goes much more involved than just the winner. It you mentioned field size that contributes, and then the exploits of the rest of the group that goes a long way into the scoring. And Hammer will go through it and explain, you know, what would have to happen to get them back to a grade one with this race. But this field will go a long way towards that, and a reprise of this kind of a group will really help. Jim, let's quickly hit the Kent and the Hockessin as well as the Hanford. And usually Carl Hanford's daughter, right, will be on hand to present.
Well, the Hanford, named after the jockey, is a mile and a 16th race. Three and up. David Jacobson has two interesting horses in her, one in the Hanford and one in the Hockessin. And Hoffenheim is his representative in the Hanford, has an excellent chance, will be the favorite. And Stallwalking Dude is the likely favorite in the six furlong Hockessin. So I think both races go through David Jacobson. But neither one they're both wide open. And there are other horses who can win both of these races. Hoffenheim, I think, is going to – he's fast. They sent him to Delaware for his last race. He won a high-level optional claiming race nicely over Fleet Willie. And I think he's going to take it to him from the get-go here, and they're going to have to beat him. They're going to have to catch him. Having said that, Name Changers come back very well for Alan Goldberg, and – Colts Next Stables off a long layoff. He's 2 for 2 as a 5-year-old. 11-month layoff, and I think that's what you want to see. You know, it's always a question mark. You know, when a horse is off that long, you can almost put a line through their fast form or take it with a grain of salt, and they have to reprove themselves. And I think Name Changers come back very good. He's the horse I would go to along with Hoppenheim in here.
Well, terrific card, and it should be another terrific Saturday of action at Delaware Park. And, Jim, you'll be on hand.
Driving down today.
Very nice. And as we exit, we should also toss in passing, the Park Stash, Vision Perfect, and a thriller, Frankie Pennington, for Jason Service. And, of course, Ron Lombardi was up in New York for Firenze Fire, but a pretty exciting, I guess it was maybe 20 minutes earlier before the Dwyer, Vision Perfect was a winner. And then the Turf Amazon, Arno Delacour and Daniel Centeno, Smiling Causeway. Big effort.
Sure. You know, the Mid-Atlantic Turf Sprint divisions are always deep. There's a lot of opportunities in this region for Turf Sprinters, and it seems they just come up salty every year. And two good winners for sure.
Jim Dunleavy, everybody. DRF Dunleavy, and I appreciate it. Jim covers a lot of territory, Monmouth and Delaware and Philly, and next year Colonial too. So get the tires checked for those drives down to New Kent.
Might need a new car, actually. Definitely.
I love it. Jim Dunleavy, everybody. Let's take a timeout right here. And we lost a couple of minutes, so we're a little behind, but it'll be all right. We've got Marcus Hirsch, and we'll look back at the Arlington Saturday action and fill out some of those other spots. We did talk to Kenny McPeak about Daddy's Little Darlin', but a lot of nice performances, and I want Marcus to kind of run through them. He's also been keeping tabs on Newmarket, and he's got Indiana to worry about tomorrow. Indiana Grand tomorrow night. Nice card. And we'll look at the Oaks, the Derby, and everything else. Another four undercard stakes as part of the Indiana Oaks and Derby festivities. And, you know, regarding the Hanford, Carl Hanford, of course, I guess it could also be named, it's called the Carl Hanford, but Jim referred to to Carl Hanford's brother, Ira, who rode. And, of course, daughter Gail, typically hands out the trophy for the Carl Hanford. And Kelso got mentioned quite a bit yesterday, and, of course, Carl Hanford trained Kelso. Take a timeout. Marcus Hirsch joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF past performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky.